Charles Gounod gave such a nice part to the flute because his good friend Paul Tafanel was a flutist. That was the Petite Symphony with the Waterloo Chamber Orchestra performing.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to WHFR out of Henry Ford Community College. We thank you for choosing WHFR as your classical connection. If you would like to learn more about what's happening in and around WHFR, programming changes, where we might be doing appearances, and so on and so forth, then we'd love you to be a part of our WHFR Loyal Listener mailing list. It is a free opportunity for you to write to your doorstep, the WHFR Loyal Listener. It is our bi-monthly newsletter that shares all of the latest happenings of WHFR, both out and about in town or programming changes, music reviews, and so much more. And best of all, it's free. Simply give us a call, 313-845-9842. Leave your name, full address, and phone number, and I will put you on the WHFR mailing list just like that.
Good morning, this is WHFR Dearborn, and stay tuned for Pet Lover's Lane.
Welcome to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and I'm here today with two very, very special guests. They are great friends of the city of Dearborn, and they're great friends to the animal community. And that is Elaine Green, the executive director, and Kelly Sisson, development director of the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Right?
Hi, Susan.
Greetings, Susan.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you. I've
just known you for a while and know all the wonderful things you do in the community for pets and for people. For anyone who is listening who is not familiar with the Dearborn Animal Shelter, give us a little bit of history and background information.
Well, the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter actually incorporated in 1993, and they were doing such a great job helping the city with caring for the animals that the city offered a contract for the Friends to actually operate and manage the shelter in 1996. And since then, we have been running the shelter for them and instituting all different types of programs to help the animals in the community as well as the pet owners in the community to take better care of their animals.
Well, education is very important, and I'm learning that just from having my own pets. I know I touched on your website, and on the website it says animals are the heart of our mission.
They absolutely are the heart of our mission. Kelly, go ahead with the mission statement.
Well, we call that our slogan.
Okay.
That's our nice kind of sound bite, that animals are the heart of our mission. But in general, and I will never remember this, I don't have it wrote, but I mean, education is one arm of our mission. Reuniting lost pets with their owners and adopting our animals and caring for them while they are in our facility, those are probably the major things that we do. So educate, adopt, reunite animals.
And you're doing a wonderful job of that. I know I've been over to the animal shelter many times, and Elaine is always on top of everything. You have some policies that you have and also some services.
Right. We do a screening process before we place animals. We want to make sure that they're going to go to responsible, caring people. We're looking for lifetime commitments for these animals. We basically service the area of Dearborn for stray animals and homeless animals. Folks outside of Dearborn certainly are welcome to come in to adopt our animals, but unfortunately we're such a small shelter, we have to limit the area in which we can take in animals. So virtually it's stray animals in the community of Dearborn, and for owner-surrendered animals, if we do have additional cage space, we will take them from outside of the city. Typically, our shelter is pretty full, though. We have, for the past 6 years and into our seventh year, have saved 100% of our adoptable animals. And so that sometimes means that animals stay in the shelter for quite a while, waiting for their forever home to come along.
Yes, I know that you're very crowded over there. I've come over many times to visit you and the animals, and I know that you're pretty much full. I don't think I've ever seen an empty cage. So that's a testament to your dedication and your constant work.
Right.
So one of the things that I noticed on your website, and you mentioned the education programs. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with education.
We have quite a few education programs. Again, every year by year, we get bigger and bigger, and our outreach gets bigger and bigger, because even though we're called the Dearborn Animal Shelter, it's kind of a misnomer. I think our reach extends well beyond Dearborn. At least half of our volunteers and half of our supporters and donors and adopters come from elsewhere. They come from all over Michigan, and sometimes, in some cases, they come from other states. We've had people actually come from, like, South Carolina. They see our dogs and cats on the web, and they really want that dog or cat, and they'll come from there. So our reach is pretty extensive. And so we feel that we have a responsibility to give back as far as educating the community. So this year we launched a pet education series. It's a free series of educational seminars. They take place at the Henry Ford Centennial Library. We had four this year. We have two coming up. One is on September 12th. And its focus is senior pet care, and it is going to be led by Dr. Richard Caputo from Caputo Animal Hospital, who is one of our fabulous supporters. And October 10th, we have training tips and tricks, and that is being offered by our own in-house trainer, Linda Thomas, who has many, many, many years of experience in the shelter environment. She's a licensed vet tech, and she's a certified animal trainer. And we're so blessed to have her on our staff. And those sessions are free. They're free to the public, because we know that if, you know, an owner is educated, they're more likely to keep their pets. For example, before this interview, we were talking with Susan about her cat, who's a bit of a terror, that she tells us, who came from the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And in this case, we are offering for people who may not be as patient as you with, you know, with their kitty cat about what to do. You know, call us. Go to our website. You know, we were always willing to help pet owners and new pet owners and seasoned pet owners with whatever issues that they're having. Some things that we're also doing, too, one program that I think is pretty nifty, we call it our Read to Rover program. We have volunteers who bring their pets who were adopted from the animal shelter, and we go into the libraries, and we call them kids who are reluctant readers. These are young children who are just learning how to read, and they're very, very shy about reading in front of their classmates. But studies have found that when they're reading to a cat or a dog who's snuggling up to them, all of a sudden that fear is gone. And so, again, we talked a little bit before the interview also about the, you know, reciprocal relationship of animals and the benefit they bring to humans. There's no better, you know, feeling when you're with a little, you know, boy or a little girl, and they're reading, and they're so shy, and then all of a sudden, they're reading more rapidly, they're more comfortable, you can see the smiles on their faces, so you see that, you know, immediate result of a, you know, an animal-human relationship. It's pretty neat.
Well, that sounds like a neat program. When you're talking about more training for people with pets, I'm sure I have much more to learn than I've already learned, but I'd be very interested in that, in your series.
Well,
that
great. One more thing, sorry to interrupt. We have a training session, actually, not free, but we actually have a new training session, again, a series of classes. And I'll let Lane talk about the various levels of dog training, but we also offer cat training classes.
Now that's what I need.
And that is because people think, oh, I can't train my cat. Yes, you can. You know, cats are clicker trainable.
So, Lane, clicker trainable.
Tell us about our training classes.
Well, the classes that we are first initially offering are for kittens, and they're actually to get the kittens to socialize properly with other kittens and socialize with other people so they don't develop into little terror cats at 2 and 3 years of age. But, you know, for the older cats, of course, you could call the shelter, and we could look further into helping people with specific issues with their cats. Most of the classes are geared towards dogs. We have a puppy class, beginner class, and then we have some advanced classes. We do have some specialty classes. One is agility, where you're teaching your dog to go through the tunnels and the little agility equipment you may have seen if you've ever gone to a dog show or on TV. You've seen the dogs that do agility courses, that type of thing. And then we have a reactive rover class. If you have a dog, a young dog, or an older dog that has issues with other dogs, you learn how to manage those issues in this class. And these classes really are going to help you make your life with your pet more enjoyable. And it's going to help those people that are so frustrated that they may even consider giving their dog up because of their frustration, help them realize the potential their dog has and keep their dog in their home.
Well, I couldn't agree more with the focus of your training program. I may even attend the kitten training program myself, but I want to let our listeners know you are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I am Susan Morell, and Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. So you can listen to the show with your pet.
And we hope so.
They will love it. I want to talk a little bit more about your education programs and maybe some advice. As I mentioned, we were talking earlier, and I have this, I have Mitzi, and I talk about her a lot because she has, I think she has kind of a unique personality. She's quite an extrovert, and she has a lot of energy. So I've had major issues with her throughout the years, but I've grown to love her. To know her is to love her, right?
Right.
And that's what happens with animals, and she has a sweet, loving side. She runs in the bedroom in the morning and jumps on my bed and just cuddles up and kisses and hugs and all that. But not for very long. And then she's off on a new adventure. But I feel that animals, you know, just add so much to your life. And one of the topics you have on your website is how animals relieve human stress.
Absolutely. Studies have shown that people that have high blood pressure are helped by having a pet. Just the petting of an animal can dramatically lower their blood pressure. With seniors, there's been issues with social interactions. They become loners sometimes because they've lost a lot of their friends, and they become maybe non-responsive. My aunt is one that I take my dog to visit her, and immediately her face lights up, and she'll start talking to people she's never talked to before as a result of just having the pet in her lap. And because of this, we have started a new program for seniors. We feel it's very important for seniors to have the ability to have pets if they want one. And so we're offering to the community seniors 60 years or older, if they qualify to adopt a pet from us, we will waive the adoption fee for a cat that's 1 year or older.
That's wonderful.
And it would give them a nice little startup kit as well.
Well, I wish I needed a. I probably had a startup kit, but unfortunately, I didn't read it. So I just was kind of floundering there around on my own. But yes, and I will be calling you and finding out more information. And one of the questions that I have that you also had on your website was, can a pet owner learn to trim kitty cat nails.
Absolutely.
That's next on my list of things to learn.
Yes, it can be done. Some cats, you know, are more finicky than others about having their feet handled and the nails being trimmed. And certainly it helps if you start at an early age training them to tolerate it. But it's not that difficult. It's actually pretty easy if you have the right tools.
And would you trim them on the front and the back?
Typically, you don't need to trim the back claws, but on some cats I have seen that they grow quite long, and you can trim the back nails.
Okay.
But it's basically just trimming off the hooks of the nails, and it's really quite easy once you're shown how to do it.
Okay.
And as long as you keep your cat's nails neatly trimmed, there is no need for declawing, which is something that we don't advocate at all. And because really, cats really would, you know, don't have the tendency to tear up your house. Again, if you watch them, train them, and keep their little claws nicely clipped.
Yeah. Well, Mitzi is a climber and she is a jumper. And believe me, she can jump very, very well. And one of the things that she often does to me when I talk on the phone, she'll jump on my back and then she'll jump on my shoulder. And she has even jumped on the top of my head.
Because you're not paying attention to her.
Well, that's
it. All about her.
That's it. She wants to talk on the phone. So
exactly.
I try to let her talk on the phone as much as possible. And that helps. Believe it or not, that helps.
Well, we'll have to remember that, too.
Well, and cats really, it's sort of an erroneous assumption that cats are solitary, lone beings. They really are social creatures. You know, people think, oh, I just have one cat and it's fine. It doesn't really need to interact. But again, a really great program that we started this year, we call it the Triple C, the Cat Community Center. As you know, as you've already mentioned, we are always full of cats. Well, full of cats? Our shelter is full of cats. We have so many cats right now, and one thing that we initiated this year in this Triple C, we've rented two trailers that are in the back of our shelter, and up to 15 cats in each trailer can live in a cage-free environment. So they've got places to jump, they've got kitty condos, they've got shelving units, so they're not in cages.
That's,
you know,
wonderful.
How great is that?
That's wonderful.
So we actually have these two areas. They can play, they can sit in the windows, they can enjoy the sunshine, they can do what cats do, and they can socialize with each other. And we've seen an increase in our cat adoptions when people can go back, when visitors can go back into those Triple C centers and see them not in a cage.
Right.
It's very difficult to get to know a cat's personality by looking through bars of a cage and just taking them out and having just a few moments to, you know, cuddle with them.
This is true.
So we've seen it. We've seen our, you know, we've had some great adoption stories. We had two cats who were with us for
3 years.
For 3 years, who ended up, they were our first two cats in the Triple C, and they were adopted as would-be sisters by a single adopter.
So what a great success story. Oh, it's wonderful. The Cat Community Center.
Yep, the
Triple
C.
Now, was that your brainchild?
It was your brainchild.
It was Elaine's brainchild. Well, that's a very, very creative solution.
Elaine is our fearless leader and comes up with all this great stuff.
That's a wonderful solution. I love that. I love that concept.
Well, a lot of the new shelters that are being built, and when we build our new shelter, we're going to have community cat areas also. But unfortunately, we did not have the space to do that, and so this was one of the only ways we would be able to offer the community living to the cats is by renting a trailer to do it. So,
well, that's a great idea. That's fabulous. Now, I'll have to get over there and just to see it and come and visit the kitty cats at the Cat Community Center at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Well, one of the things that's really big these days in society, and you see more and more pet stores, and now you see grooming centers and things like that. And I just wonder if you have any advice for people who adopt on grooming cats and dogs, and should they send them to a groomer to have them bathed on a regular basis and they have their nails trimmed and those kinds of things?
Well, it depends on the person. It depends on the dog. It depends on if the people who have the pet or cat have the ability physically and the space in their home to do it themselves. I would recommend doing it yourself if you're capable of doing it, because whenever you take your animal other places, there's a stress factor related to it. But some animals actually enjoy going to see the groomer. I had a dog that I would take to my groomer, and he loved going, and it was great for him, and they did a wonderful job. There are some places that actually have windows in their groom shop, so you can stand there and watch the whole time.
Now, that's really what I want to do, and I haven't been able to do that.
Well, there are places that do that. I'm not so sure they do cats. I know they do dogs because I have taken my dog there before, and you can stand there and watch them groom the animal and wait until they're done and then take them home with you so you don't have to be separated from your animal for that period of time. I would suggest that, you know, if you decide to take your animal to a groomer, you probably would ask your veterinarian or your friends or neighbors for recommendations of groomers that they've had good experiences with. I would make sure that the groomer is aware or interested whether the animal has been vaccinated or not. That way you're not exposing your animal to sick animals. I would also encourage you to look around the surroundings. If the shop is, you know, dirty and smelly, it's probably not the best place to take your animal to have it groomed.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I do notice a lot of people take their dogs in for trims because the hair gets too long.
Right.
And those kinds of issues. So that's necessary to actually trim the fur of some dogs.
Well, it depends on the person themselves. There's no breed that absolutely has to be trimmed all the time. I think people would rather have their hair cut shorter so it's easier for them to keep up with. But if you watch the show breeds, like the really long-haired dogs, most of those dogs do not have their hair cut, but they probably roll it up in little rollers a lot of the time to keep it from becoming damaged or matted. And so I'm a proponent of keeping the hair short enough that you can keep the mats out, because mats are extremely uncomfortable for the animals, and they're just a way of causing wounds and injury to the animal. So certainly, you know, having free-flowing hair and being bathed, kept clean, and groomed on a daily basis is a good idea.
Even on a daily basis,
to brush and comb, yes, it's a good idea, because people do the same thing.
Dogs and cats?
For dogs and cats, if you can, yes.
On a daily basis.
Just taking a few minutes in the morning.
Right. Right.
I have a routine, actually, right. Both my dogs. I just brush them first thing in the morning. So.
Well, you're good.
It actually becomes a social thing for the animal, too. Oh,
they expect it.
If they like it.
If they like it. And a lot of animals, after a period of time, grow very accustomed to it. They may not like it right in the beginning, but then they look forward to it.
Do they?
Yes.
Well, because we've seen some distressing situations involving incredibly matted fur on dogs who come in. And we would, you know, a couple of minutes a day. I mean, our animals would probably never get to that extreme level, but we have seen that in some cases.
Yes, I saw the worst case of a dog with matted hair that I've ever seen on the Animal Planet last week. Mm. They brought a poor dog in. It was just a small dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he had so much matted hair. Mm-hmm. He looked to be about 2 or 3 times larger than what he actually was.
Right.
He was just a small little terrier, some type of a small terrier.
Right. Right.
And he, can you imagine, this dog could hardly see. I mean, he had wads and wads of hair all over his poor little ears.
Right.
I mean, it was a terribly sad thing to see. But anyway, they did save his life.
Right.
And they got rid of all that hair. He was so cute. He was just adorable.
We had a situation, and I'm not a big believer in sharing horror stories, but this is a good story that ended up. We had a schnauzer that came in earlier this year, and we called her Trixie, but her name is Sarah now. And the mats on her were so extensive that they cut off the circulation on her front leg. And we took her to the vet because we care enough about our animals that we will do that. And her leg had to be amputated because of mats, because the mats were so extensive. And our vet said that she had never seen that circumstance before. But, you know, it all, you know, came out wonderfully in the end because little Miss, you know, Trixie slash Sarah got adopted by one of our volunteers. And that was kind of our poster child right now for our appeal that we have going on this summer. Because without our supporters, without our vets, without our, you know, donors, we can't save animals like Trixie. And, again, just a few minutes a day of brushing Trixie maybe would have you know, stopped that from happening. But it can get that extensive.
Yeah, that's a sad situation. And I know it's sometimes hard to find the time to devote. So when you have a pet, you have to have the room mm-hmm. in your life to devote some time and effort to the care of that animal. And that's very, very important.
Well, because we say that we're sending our animals to their forever families.
Exactly. And the animals are part of the family. They're part mm-hmm. of your home. They're
exactly.
part of your life. And you want to make them comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to be happy.
Yes.
Right? They're there to share happiness. Happiness
well,
and love.
Well, and again, we get so much back from them.
So, oh,
yeah.
Exactly.
So it's our responsibility to take care of them, yes.
Exactly. Exactly. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. We're making waves. I'm Susan Morrell, and I'm joined today in the studios by two wonderful, dedicated people from the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. I have here Elaine Green, who is the very devoted executive director, and Kelly Sisson, who is the development director, and they're both doing wonderful, wonderful things at the Dearborn Animal Shelter and in the community for the animals and for the humans, for us humans. And Kelly, since you are the development director, why don't you tell us a little more about the program development process there at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, because I know you have a fabulous calendar every single year, and you have fabulous, fabulous events for people to attend.
We do have a lot of events going on throughout the year. Again, as Elaine mentioned, we began in the 1990s, and our budget and our reach and our goals were very small. And since then, our budget and our reach and our goals have only grown, you know, exponentially year by year. So at this point, you know, we do get a small subsidy from the city because we have a public-private partnership going with them. But three-quarters of our budget comes from the community, comes from our donors, our supporters. Some of that comes from events that we have coming up. Some of it comes just from people who just give us freely because they love animals. We had a huge event this past spring called the Mutt Strut. It was our second annual one, and our third one will be, you know, coming up again in 2008 in May. And the city's great working with us about that. We had so many dogs coming into Dearborn, you know, last May, and it was a great thing because dogs were not allowed in the parks in Dearborn. I'm going to have a little plug for that because we need to change that at some point.
Oh, they're not?
No, dogs were not allowed. So this one day of the year in May, the dogs flocked to, you know, the Henry Ford Centennial Library Complex, and we had hundreds and hundreds of dogs, and Mayor O'Reilly cut the ribbon, and we had, you know, the dog splashing going on and all kinds of great things. So look forward to that next year. But upcoming, we have our annual Black Tie and Tail event. We are in year 7. It will be at the Dearborn Inn again this year. It's Friday, October 19th. Okay. And if people have not been to it, I encourage them to come because it really is an elegant affair for our four-legged friends.
And so what is the dress code?
Being that it is black tie, it's optional. Black tie is optional, but this way you get a chance to see many of the fellows of Dearborn decked out in their best, and all of the, you know, ladies looking quite, you know, spiffy. And this year we'll be having our pet promenade, where we actually bring adoptable animals to this event. So we have, you know, like I said, it really is for our four-legged furry friends because they're there, and we actually get quite a few dogs and cats adopted at the event. So the dogs and cats are there, and during the pet promenade, we have individuals carry cats and walk the dogs down a red carpet, and during that time, Elaine talks about them. It's a little fashion show, adoption show for our dogs and our cats. And this year, we're also featuring a For the Paws boutique in our adoption room. So we've got some, you know, again, nifty things going on at Black Tie this year. And again, I encourage people to come. It's a great, fun evening.
Okay, and what is the donation?
Tickets this year are $175 per person, but that does include an open bar, flowing champagne, if you will, and a fabulous, fabulous hors d'oeuvre spread, and great entrees, and most delectable dessert table you can possibly imagine, and silent and live auctions, and dancing the night away.
Okay, it sounds like a wonderful way to spend actually a glamorous evening for you and someone special.
I know.
You can actually share it with the animals from the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and you can even adopt a new pet. So that's pretty exciting.
Last year we had the most adoptions ever. I'm pretty sure, and you know, my numbers might be off by one or two. We had 6 cats and 3 dogs adopted last year by attendees who came. So the pictures from the event are really, really fun because you see people in their swanky outfits cuddling a cat or holding a dog. So, you know, little dog hair mixed in with your finery. It's not bad.
So if someone is interested in coming to the event, can they purchase a ticket at this point? This is August.
They can indeed purchase tickets. If you go online to our website, you can purchase tickets right there online. Or you can call the shelter at 943-2697 and just say, I would like to buy a ticket to Black Tie. And we will get you all set up.
Okay, and that's area code 313.
It is indeed.
On the telephone. Can you give us the website?
Our website is www.dearborn-animals.com. And right in our homepage, Black Tie is featured. And you just click there, and you can go and purchase your tickets on our safe and secure online website.
So that is one of your regular events that you have every year.
Yes.
And I think you have a few other events that are regular events.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
I already mentioned the Mutt Strut, which is fairly new, so it'll be year 3 next year. And then our big golf outing that we have is called the Critter Invitational, and that's held at the Dearborn Country Club. That is the second Monday of June. Next year will be our 15th anniversary, so we're planning some interesting, fun, kind of top secret stuff right now.
And how did the last one go this past June?
We did our best ever. We had the most attendees. We raised over $45,000 for the animals, and it was our best year. We only had it at the country club for a few years. I think it was year 3 this year.
So what do people actually do at the golf outing?
They enjoy a fabulous day of golf at the Dearborn Country Club. Actually, Elaine golfs at it. I ride around in the beverage cart, make sure everybody's happy. tell me about being a golfer at the Critter Invitational.
Well, I would like to talk about being a golfer, but I'm really not a golfer.
I
do take clubs, and I do take attempts at swinging at the clubs at the ball. But it's a great time. It's a beautiful course. It's, you know, just to ride along in the golf course, well worth the fee to register. We have lunch at the turn, and there's hot dogs, veggie dogs for those that don't eat meat. And then you come into a fabulous auction tables at the end of the event, and we had such wonderful items to bid on, from you know, spa packages to golf packages to artwork. It was just fantastic. And everyone has such a great time, and we have Dan Miller.
I was going to say, one of the reasons is
from
because
Fox 2.
Dan Miller is
very good.
He's a big advocate of the shelter, as are the Lions. And Dan has been our MC for the past couple of years, and he really, really sort of makes a spirited crowd because he's a great MC and a great auctioneer. We love having him. And he's a pet owner, and he's about to adopt a kitten from us,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
So we love Dan. And Dan, you know, manages to get us really wonderful Lions packages that are very, very unique, like being able to go down on the field during practices, sitting up in the broadcast booth with Dan and Jim Brandstatter during a game. So he, you know, we're very, very lucky. And also, again, lucky to have the backing of the Detroit Lions. They are, I brought you, you know, one of our Lions calendars, because every single year, not every single year, but for the past 3 years, they actually work with us on a Lions Friends pet calendar. So each one of the lions who participates every month features either their own dog or cat, or one of our adoptable dogs and cats. So they take the time out of their busy schedules to, you know, do the photo shoot. They're so lovable, the dogs and the Lions players, because they're these big guys and they're cuddling these little cats and they're cuddling their dogs and they love their pets so much, you can tell. And it's, you know, we're just thankful to have that partnership going with them.
Well, that's also a great concept, and one of the things that I really love about the Dearborn Animal Shelter is all of your events. You've made it so people friendly, and you have a way of incorporating a lot of fun for people to go and socialize mm-hmm. at various events, and they're also contributing to your organization. You're out in the community and you're being visible. How do you dream up all these wonderful events? I guess that's part of your job as development director, right?
I have no idea how we dream up. One thing that we've been doing the past couple of years, too, is we call it Begging for Bones. And we work with the local public schools, the Dearborn Public Schools. And Dr. Artis gave his approval for this, so I'm not speaking out of turn. They actually collect all the different, you know, schools in the area. The students collect money for us during the month of October. And then the winning school, or the winning class, collects the most money, is the winner of the Golden Bone Award. And for the past 2 years, Dearborn High School has been the winner of the Golden Bone Award because, you know, they alone collect over $3,000 just, you know, themselves. And we raise $6,000 just by kids collecting money for the animals. And again, we really do believe this is a community service. It, you know, animals and taking care of animals affects the entire community. And I think, you know, if we have any kind of success lately, it's that. Making sure that everybody realizes what a great job they're doing out there to make sure that we are doing our... We would love to be out of business. We don't want to be in business. We don't want to have an animal shelter.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
But if we have to be in business, you know, we are so thankful for all the support that we have because we couldn't do it without kids and vets and everybody who's out there volunteering for us, fostering for us, and just supporting us in general.
Well, I agree. And it's if you haven't been over to the Dearborn Animal Shelter, I urge you to give them a call at 313-943-2077 and talk to them and go out for a visit and see how you can become involved, either adopt or they need volunteers and they have a wish list. There's just lots and lots of ways people can help. You're listening to Pet Lovers Lane right here on WHFR, the only station making waves. And I want to ask you a little bit about this new facility because I know that has been in the works for quite a while.
If I could just interject for 1 second before I even talk about the new shelter, you know, we're inviting people to come visit us. We're inviting people to come see what they can do, you know, for the animals. A good time to do that would be a week from tomorrow, which is a week from Saturday. And that Saturday is August 18th. We are having an open house because that day happens to be National Homeless Animals Day.
Okay.
So from 11 o'clock until 3 o'clock, we are having just different events going on at the animal shelter on Greenfield. We are having a bake sale. A lot of our student volunteers have gotten together and decided to have a bake sale, which they do frequently throughout the year. But in this case, they're dedicating it to the National Homeless Animals Day. We are also having a big merchandise sale that day. All of our friends' logoed merchandise is going to be on sale.
So what kind of merchandise, if I'm interested?
Oh, good grief. We have things from hats and T-shirts to mugs to really neat messenger bags.
So well, what's... We have dishes also.
We have dishes. We have, I mean, anything things. You can possibly think of, we actually have.
What's on the hats
toys.
And the t-shirts?
Oh, we have our beautiful logo.
Okay.
Our beautiful, you know, heart with a paw in the center of it.
Okay.
Which, and our magnets. Our magnets are, if you drive around Dearborn now, you can see our circular magnet that says Adopt a Pet on it, and you'll know that one of our supporters is driving around in that car.
And how much is the magnet?
A mere $5 donation to the animals. How wonderful is that? But also at the open house on Saturday, we're having an open house at our training facility, which happens to be located right next to Pet Supplies Plus on Telegraph.
That's Telegraph and what?
It is Telegraph and Oxford.
Okay.
The address is 2621 Telegraph, because the Pet Supplies Plus store is letting us use their facility right next door for our training classes.
So wonderful.
So Linda will be there. She will be offering tips and tricks as far as your dog goes, and she'll be having, what else is going on that day? A microchip clinic is going on.
Now, what's the date?
The date, again, is August 18th.
August 18th.
From 11 o'clock till 3, the open house will be both at the shelter facility on Greenfield and at our training facility at Telegraph in Oxford.
And what is the actual location of the Dearborn Animal Shelter on Greenfield?
It is 2661 Greenfield.
And what is the major cross street?
We're at Butler Road at Greenfield, but we're located between Allen and Rotunda.
Okay, because sometimes that can be a little bit difficult to find it,
right?
Because I know you're up a long driveway.
Yes.
And it's not exactly totally visible.
We often get calls from people who are like seconds away from us, and they're asking, did I turn in the wrong place? Am I in the wrong? And I'm like, no, I can see you at the end of the driveway.
just come up the driveway.
Just come up the driveway.
Yeah, it's a long driveway.
And right. That is one of many, many, many reasons why we are seeking a new facility. We are not in the best location
in
Dearborn.
It's not the best location.
We're next to pretty much...
The old dump.
And it's up a hill. It's up a big, huge, high hill.
So it's hard to locate us. Yes. It's very loud. It doesn't smell wonderful most of the time. So people who do find us, I congratulate you and thank you for finding us. Yes, being in a better location would be wonderful for us. You know, the traffic, just having traffic be able to know where we are. But our facility is so outdated.
So where is the proposed new facility?
The proposed new facility is on Michigan Avenue in the Henry Ford Centennial Library, Performing Arts Center, courthouse, police station complex.
Oh, in that complex.
So right there.
Well, that would be a great location.
That'd be much better.
That would be so much better.
Now.
That's where things are happening in Dearborn. Everyone goes
right.
over there to the
right.
Performing Arts Center for all types of activities.
Exactly.
And that would be better. So how is it coming along? Is it being built, or is there funding, or what's going on?
We do have funding. We have several very generous donors who have come forward. But right now we are working out with the city exactly what our relationship is going to be. Because it is going to be a shared, again, private partnership, we have to make sure that the city is comfortable with what they are willing to commit to us and then what we are going to have to do to make the dream come true.
So when will you see it opening?
I refuse to promise anymore exactly when it's going to open. I don't want to disappoint the community. I don't want to disappoint volunteers.
This year? 2007?
No.
2008?
Probably not.
I will say, you know, probably somewhere past 2009, only because one of the things that we want to do and the city wants to do is do this correctly. Meaning, you know, building a facility that houses and shelters animals is very different from building any other kind of facility. We have to make sure that it's cleanable, that it's safe. There's a lot of different situations that you've got to, you know, realize as far as traffic, people coming in and out, animals coming in and out. So if we're going to do it, we do promise that we're going to do it right.
So there are issues. There are things that you are working on and you're
yes.
consulting with the city
yes.
and a lot of other groups, I would imagine.
Yes.
And there are a lot of details to work out.
Correct.
But for any of our listeners who would like to donate and help the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter build their new facility, I presume you have a fund?
Absolutely.
We do indeed have a fund. And any monies that do come in for the shelter are expressly dedicated to the new shelter.
And they can donate?
Yeah, we do not use new shelter money for operations. That money is in a separate account. We don't touch it. It's there to realize the community's dream.
And how can people donate?
Again, going to our website's a really, really easy way if you have internet access. And again, www.dearborn-animals.com. And right on the home page, it says, help us build our new shelter. And you can go there. From pennies to thousands of dollars to $1 million we would even take from you.
Or what if they want to call?
Calling is also very, very easy. If you call us at 313-943-2697 and just tell one of our pleasant staffers who answered the phone that you would like to give to the new shelter project, they will help. You can send in a check. You can just give your credit card over the phone. We'll pretty much take any way that you would like to give us.
Okay.
And again, there's a lot of unique ways that people maybe don't realize how they can give. There are IRAs. They can give gifts of stock. I am the development director, so I can talk to you about ways that, you know, we can work with you because this is all tax deductible. Remember, we're a, you know, nonprofit 501c3. So any gift that we get, whether it's in kind, if you're giving us gifts of, what in kind things do we normally get?
Well, for the shelter operations.
Yeah, it's the operations.
Pet foods, pet supplies, supplies that help us care for the animals and clean the shelter. Things as simple as trash bags, laundry soap, dish soap, bleach to kibble for the pets, canned food, cat litter, mm-hmm. folding chairs. We need folding chairs, vacuums, household items that you may not need anymore, or you're upgrading your computer equipment or your refrigerator or a washing machine. Give us a call.
So there are many, many ways to assist the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Go to the website or give them a call at 313-943-2097. And we're almost out of time here on Pet Lovers Lane. And, of course, we didn't have time to cover all the issues. But I just want to ask about one issue that has been in the news quite a bit lately, and actually Elaine has been on Pet Lovers Lane in the past, and actually about a year ago she joined us here on Pet Lovers Lane. And one of the things that we've actually never talked about is this dog fighting issue, which has been covered in the media for the past month or so. Elaine, can you shed some light for us on this issue, and how is the Dearborn Animal Shelter involved with dog fighting or the pit bull issue?
Well, first of all, if we do get complaints or information that there may be ongoing concerns about dog fighting, we do send out an animal control officer to investigate the situation. Fortunately, there's not a whole lot of dog fighting going on in Dearborn, but in the surrounding areas, there are evidence of it. We see pit bulls coming into our shelter, and we are one of the few shelters in the area that actually will try to attempt to place adoptable pit bulls. Most of the shelters, unfortunately, don't choose to take the time or have the space to try to rehome pit bulls, but we see quite a few pit bulls coming into us because it's well known out there that we do try to help pit bulls with fighting wounds on them. And typically dogs that have been in some kind of organized fight, you will see specific wounds on them. So I would ask that any of your listeners, if they're aware of dogs or suspicious of people in their neighborhoods or acquaintances being involved in such a horrible activity, to contact either us at the shelter or their local police department and report that it's going on. It's not only just the fighting of the dogs. It's organized crime. There's not only the gambling. Typically, there's drugs involved and other types of crimes going on. So certainly it's something that you wouldn't want to be going on in your neighborhood, not only just because it's horrible for the dogs, but it's not good for the people in the neighborhood either.
Right. And these dog fighting is actually a case, they're all cases of extreme cruelty to animals.
Right. It's not just the fight itself. It's the training of the dogs that goes on. They have dogs that they train their dogs to fight on. And typically once the dog is no longer of any use to them, they'll just dump the dog wounded, bleeding, dying on the street because they're not going to spend any money on it. It's just a situation that is extremely cruel.
It's extremely cruel, and all the media has been showing a lot of video on dog fighting lately, and it's not appealing to see it at all, I don't think. And I certainly would never want to see anything like that in person. It would be horrible. For anyone who is interested in the pit bull breed, who would like to adopt a pit bull, what do you recommend?
Well, I would recommend that they talk to someone that knows what they're doing with a pit bull. I just want to make it clear that not all pit bulls are fighting pit bulls. The dogs that are used for the actual matches are dogs that are inbred and trained to do this. So it's not just any pit bull that they take off the street makes a fighting dog. They may use other dogs off the street to train their pit bulls, but they don't make good fighting dogs. So don't let that dissuade you from adopting one of our many, many wonderful, happy, healthy pit bulls that we have at the shelter. We do a temperament assessment on all of the dogs before we place them. And we make sure that any of our dogs are going into a situation where it's a good match for both the people and the animal. We have a dog named Rosie that's been with us for quite a while. She came to us as a puppy. She was she's mixed with pit bull. And if you could go up on our website and see the picture, she's wearing goggles, she's playing with toys, she's a lap dog. And most pit bulls are lap dogs. They're great, great family pets. There are some things that you may have to do with them that may be a little bit different than maybe a golden retriever because they're very active dogs and they require some training. But they're very loyal, and they're clowns. They entertain you forever.
So they're a good family pet. Can you have them around children or other pets?
With other pets, we would want to make sure that the dog was assessed to be okay around other pets. As far as children, younger pit bulls, I don't see any reason why they couldn't be.
Very, very good, because we want to support the reputation of pit bulls, and we still want them to have happy homes. The Dear Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter is very, very dedicated to doing that. I want to thank our very special guests today, Elaine Green, the Executive Director, and Kelly Sisung, the Development Director of the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, for joining us here today on Pet Lovers Lane. I'm Susan Morell. And we're back with Pet Lovers Lane for August 2007. I am Susan Morell. Thank you so much for staying tuned. We just had our wonderful interview with Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And I want to highlight a number of events coming up here for the month of August right here in Michigan. August 18th is National Homeless Animals Day. August 26th
is National Dog Day. August 30th is National Holistic Pet Day. And so these are all fabulous reasons to celebrate your pets. Saturday, August 18th, from noon until 4 p.m., you can meet and greet greyhounds at the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption of Michigan. They are sponsoring this event. It's going to be in the city of Macomb at 47202 Hayes Road. There is no charge. It is a free event. Their phone number is 586-532-9865. That same organization is holding another meet and greet on Sunday, August 19th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And that will be held at ACO Hardware at 29567 5 Mile Road in Livonia. There is no charge for that. The phone number is 734-427-3400. And on Saturday, August 25th, from 11 to 4 p.m., there is going to be a Bavarian Dash Hound Fest. That is sponsored by the Dash Hound Rescue of North America. That will take place in the city of Frankenmuth at Heritage Park at the JC Pavilion. There is no charge for that event. In addition, the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption of Michigan is holding another meet and greet on Sunday, August 26th. That is from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And that will take place in the city of Novi at 43480 West Oak Drive. That is another free event. Their phone number is 248-735-4356. And there are a number of adoption events around town. Saturday, August 18th, go to Camp Kitty, and that will take place at the Petco in the city of Ann Arbor on Washtenaw Avenue. And also on Saturday 25th, and that one will be held at Pet Supplies Plus in Adrian, Michigan. Another kitty cat event is going to take place at the Petco on 9 Mile and Gratiot. That is in East Point, and that's actually every Saturday from noon to 5 p.m., Sunday from noon to 4 p.m., and that is sponsored by Fortunate Feline Adoption League. And their phone number is 586-563-1738. And they also have additional events on Sundays at the Petco in Sterling Heights. Their address is 13701 Lakeside Circle. And the Michigan Animal Adoption Network is sponsoring an adoption event on the fourth Saturday of every month at the Petco in the city of Troy, and that's 15 Mile and Coolidge. Their phone number is 248-545-5055. I'm Susan Morrell. I just want to remind you of the National Homeless Animals Day on Saturday, August 18th, sponsored by the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, as they mentioned in the previous interview. And that will take place from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. There, that's an open house, and also a microchip clinic. That will take place at the Friends Pet Training Center on Telegraph near Pet Supplies Plus. And they're going to have the open house, and they're going to have open house at the Pet Training Center also. Give them a call. Check it out. Give the Dearborn Animal Shelter a call at 313-943-2077, and please attend that fabulous event. I'm Susan Morrell, and I thank you for joining me here on Pet Lovers Lane. Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. Please join me on the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial. We're making waves. And that was Pet Lovers Lane, brought to you by WHFR Dearborn, and that's heard every month on the second Saturday of the month. This is Lynn. I'll be your host for the upcoming Light from the Underground show today, filling in for Bill. And this will be great fun for me because I'll also be here afterwards to do No Boys Allowed starting at 1 o'clock. So I get to play with boys for 2 hours, and then we'll be playing with girls for 2 hours. So stay tuned to WHFR Dearborn.
If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Henry Ford Community College has begun enrollment for the fall 2007 semester. There are so many different programs to choose from, and the fall semester is a great time to start taking courses. Classes start August 23rd, and late registration is from August 23rd to the 30th. So join us this fall at Henry Ford Community College.
For more information and how you can begin taking classes at Henry Ford, call us at 313-845-9600.